Good morning, everyone. And it is a blessing to have the opportunity to share with you this morning. And as we know, many of the men are up there in the North Woods of Michigan, and I trust and I just know the guys. So I know they're meeting very similar to what we're doing today, only with sand between their toes. So, you know, as they're meeting up there, but I'm sure they have sung hymns and songs unto the Lord. They've been blessed to have the time around the Lord's table. And then one of the men, I'm sure, is sharing a message up there as well. So pray for them this week as they're up there and having a good time up there and being refreshed and also being strengthened from his word as well. You know, so this morning as we consider the scriptures this morning, I want us to think about how many things in scriptures or times we've been asked to remember something. You know, something that's particular in scriptures. Now, we could all say that, and we know that all scripture is inspired of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we ask ourselves sometimes, for what reason? Why is Scripture like that? Well, if we would look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 and finish those verses, it would say that it is so that the man of God, and we're thinking here mankind, not to the exclusion of ladies here, but to the inclusion of all mankind, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished or perfect, and that unto do all good works. And that's what the scripture tells us there. So we would say, well, all the words of the Bible then are things that we should remember or things that would be good for us. But I'm thinking today, you know, of some things that maybe we have been asked specifically to remember in scripture. And right away, you know, one of them that would come to mind right away may be remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And, you know, in a sense, it's good to remember things concerning the Sabbath. And as we do here, as a body of Christ, we assemble upon the first day of the week to remember things similar to that of the Sabbath. We remember that God had created all these things. We remember creation, remember what he's done. We pause from our labors of the week, and we come to remember it, you know, and we also do these things, and we also remember him as the creator and the creation that he's given to us. You know, and we also think maybe, well, what is something else that we might remember through scripture besides remember Sabbath day and keep it holy? Well, it might come to mind. We might remember the time when the children of Israel finally had the opportunity to cross over into the Jordan, and they were instructed to lay up stones or lay it commemorate the crossing by the leading of God into the promised land by setting up some stones. And then when people would come and they would ask and they say, what do these stones mean? Well, then the older generations were instructed to teach and to instruct the younger. What do those stones mean? What do they do? They deliver how God had delivered the people at that time. And we do very much the same thing today, don't we? When we have the younger classes, when we have Sunday school, when we have vacation Bible school, whatever it is, we are teaching the younger generations, in a sense, what do these stones mean, or what do these things mean when we talk about the scriptures. So those are things that we do, and just as we observed here just a few minutes ago, we think of times when Jesus would say, do this in remembrance of me. We find that in Luke's gospel in the 22nd chapter, as the Lord has asked us to remember him. And here we do at the Church of Christ here at Harlan, we do this upon every Lord's Day, every first day of the week. We come to commemorate and to remember what the Lord has done for us. You know, when we think about too, though, we could still look at other things in specific stories maybe in the Bible that we remember, some things that we remember about scriptures, but I'm thinking today, I want to focus on one memory of scripture here that is called out actually by our Lord and Savior Jesus himself here. And one story from the Old Testament that Jesus does ask us, and at this time, to remember. And I think it's good instruction for us today as he asks us that. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, with me to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke 17, we're going to be there, and then we'll be jumping back into the book of Genesis as well. So if you come to Luke 17 here, and I want to refer to this, and you know, when I say that, and when I say that Luke's gospel, we're not saying that, and we don't feel that this is Luke's gospel. We remember our passage from earlier in 2 Timothy that all scripture is inspired from God. But here it is, we believe that Luke was inspired to write down these things, and it's what the Lord wants us to know as he's led us to do that. And so here in the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, it says that Jesus was speaking with the Pharisees, and I'm looking down at verse 20, so we're going to pick up our story kind of in verse 20 there, as Jesus is talking about things concerning the coming of the kingdom. And we know the kingdom and the church are synonymous. But I like this in verse 20, and it says, as they looked, and it says, and they came to Jesus and demanded that he tell them these things. You know, I like that. You know, that they came to Jesus and they demanded him when the kingdom of God should come. You know, if we're following down in our, and we see that, just a note here. Who do we think we are that we can demand something of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? But here the Pharisees do that. Here the Pharisees demand, it says, that he tell them the king, when the kingdom shall come. And the Lord gives an answer here, but believe me here, I don't think it's because he was demanded to give the answer. It was he gave the answer because he wanted us to know. He wanted us to believe these things, and here's the answer, not because he was demanded, but because he wanted us to know some things or remember some things. And here he says it in verse 24 and 25, that the Son of Man must first suffer many things and being rejected by this generation. That's when the kingdom should come. And we know he was speaking of his trial, his crucifixion, of his coming trials that he would go through, the beatings, that all the things that concerning his resurrection, that he would be lifted up. Jesus goes on to tell them, and here we get into some of the things here, in following that, that he says, it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah there, he says, they ate and they drank, and they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. You know, I think we do that in our lives as well. We get our lives, we go so many times, we live our lives, we get so wrapped up in our daily things that we don't have time for Christ, and we forget, and we kind of forget some things. We get so busy in our normal tasks of the day that we forget some things, where our blessings come from. We don't take the opportunity at times to recognize that God has brought us through many hardships in our life, and we just don't recognize that as we go along. Jesus would also say, and if we look down there in verse 28, first he references Noah, and then he says, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. And here we go. This is where we're kind of getting into the main thought of our story here today. They did eat. It says they did eat. And they did drink, they bought, and they sold, they planted, and they builded. But that same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now look down at verse 32 there in your text there where it says, remember Lot's wife. You know, this is here, what is it that Jesus wanted us to remember? What was so important about Lot's wife that our Lord and Savior would ask us to remember? You know, here in Luke 17, 32, three little words. Remember Lot's wife. You know, the second most sought after memory verse at Bible camp, right? Is you want to get that one, because you either want to get John 11:35, Jesus wept, but you also want this one here, remember Lot's wife. You know, because why? Because those are easy to remember. Those are short verses. They're to the point. But do we remember the things and the stories behind these verses? The lessons that are inspired by the Holy Spirit to move these men to write down these things for us. You know, I don't think so right now. I don't think Jesus jumped into an impromptu version of Bible trivia here and says, okay, for 1,000 points, name Lot's wife. And he looked around and waited for somebody to say it. Here, you know, can you answer that question? Okay, can anybody out here answer that question? Remember, what is her name? I'll never forget, oh, what's her name? You know, and, you know, Jesus wasn't asking us to remember Lot's wife's name. He was asking us to remember events surrounding Lot's wife, and that, you know, what that's what we should remember. You know, there are times, and I do this, and I'm sure there are many of you do this here, where I get up from my chair maybe and go into the other room, and when I get there, I can't remember why I went there in the first place. I stand there for a minute and kind of look around, and then I have to kind of go back to the other room, and, you know, and then there's other times when my wife will say, she'll say, hey, don't let me forget this, you know, to do this or to do that, and that's not a very good thing because I'm going to forget. You know, as soon as I walk away from something, I forget. You know, so we like to do things like we write things down or we tie a finger around or tie a string around our finger, tie your finger around our string. No, maybe that's not it. But, you know, it's not long and we forget things. And so, you know, we're prone to forget. That's why I like some things that we're asked to remember, especially when we think about the Lord's Supper, to do this in memory of me. I especially like the hymn, the old hymn that we sing at times, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. You know, there are some things concerning Lot's wife that we shouldn't forget, and that's we're going to see this from the story here. I think the first thing that we want to see here is that Jesus believed the Old Testament. You know, when he refers to this, I don't think, I think we can see here that Jesus believed that there were valuable lessons to be learned from the Old Testament. And we think of verses like Romans 15, verse 4 here, and we think about all the Old Testament writings here. Romans reminds us here in 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Well, how about 1 Corinthians, if we look at that, the 10th chapter, verse 11, where it says here, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And there, you know, those are things that we're to remember. And these Old Testament scriptures or stories are examples to us. You know, we may come across people in our lives as we are teaching or just our normal everyday lives that, you know, may not believe the Bible stories, but I think we can see here that Jesus did believe them and actually referred to them at times here. He said they don't believe, maybe somebody wouldn't believe if you were telling this story about Lot and his family, that a woman could be turned into a pillar of salt. But I think here Jesus believed that. He believed those to be true. He believed his very word to be true and accurate. And it, you know, just like our text here in Luke, the Gospel of Matthew also refers to this story here and about the flood. Jesus spoke of the flood as fact, and he taught lessons from it. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, if we would consider that in verses 37 through 39 there, where Matthew refers to it, and he says, but as in the days of Noah, so were they coming, so would be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark. And that sounds very similar to what Luke wrote there. And they knew not that the flood would come. And he took them all away, and so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Again in Matthew, if we refer to Matthew again, in the 12th chapter, in verses 39 and 40, here's another Old Testament story that Jesus believed and referred to, where it says, in Matthew 12, it says, "And as for Jonas, was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus used the Old Testament stories to teach lessons from them. And I think that's very valuable for us today. He didn't just take fables and myths and then try to fit his truths into them. No, he took these Old Testament stories happened by design. They weren't fables, they weren't myths, they were actual events that happened, and Jesus referred to them as that. And Jesus would elaborate on them for us today to learn valuable lessons. So if the Old Testament stories were untrue, think of this, then Jesus was a liar. He was a false teacher. Well, he wasn't. The whole Bible stands on itself or falls on itself. And so when Jesus refers to the Old Testament stories as true, we should believe them as true as well. And there are things that we can gain valuable insights from. You know, I think Jesus believed the Old Testament and taught from them. And so when he teaches us to remember Lot's wife, I think Jesus thought that there was some valuable insight that we could gain from that. So let's look at some things about Lot's wife and the family there that led them to leaving of Sodom. So if you want to turn back to Genesis, the 13th chapter, we'll start there, and then we'll go into chapters 19 and 18 and 19 of Genesis. So, but back in the 13th chapter, we remember that the wickedness of Sodom and the neighboring cities had become so great that God decided to destroy them. And we can see that in Genesis 13 in verse 13, that God had looked at the wickedness of those cities and decided to destroy them. You know, if we turn forward then into the 18th chapter of Genesis there, we see that God then tells Abraham this. God tells Abraham about his plan here, about to destroy the city, and we actually see Abraham then, we think because of his concern for Lot and his family, that he actually goes into a little bartering session here with God. And in the 18th chapter, we see that. So Abraham's kind of bartering with God. He says, would you spare the city if 50 righteous could be found? And, you know, the answer comes back, yes, I will spare the city if 50 righteous. And Noah goes in, well, peradventure, if 45, well, yes, I will do it. And then the bartering keeps kind of going down here because I think Abraham knows what the situation in the city is. And he goes from 45 to 30 to 20, and then they get down to 10. Peradventure, would you save the city if we could only find 10? And I think Abraham in his mind is thinking of one family. He's thinking of Lot, his wife, and his kids, and we'll see here, they're talking about there's even some son-in-laws involved as well. And so, maybe the whole total might have been 10. I'm not really sure there, but Abraham knows that. He said he would, could 10 be found in the whole city? And these cities weren't small cities. They were great cities, they say. So God would send then two angels to the city to instruct Lot to leave the city. These two men come down. They come down to deliver Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. They get to Sodom, and when they get there, these angels came as men. But when the men of the city saw these men, they came to Lot's house. Now, we can read this in the 18th and 19th chapter of Genesis there. They came to the house, and it says they compassed the house, or they surrounded it. And it says from young to old, so we can see how far the wickedness had become. From young to old, they compassed the house and demanded, there's that word again, if we read that, they demanded that these men, these angels, be sent out unto them. And in fact, we should know here that Lot goes out and tries to plead with them here. Lot goes out and tries to plead with these men not to do this wickedness. And Lot even goes so far as to offer up his daughters in trade, but they didn't want the daughters. They wanted the men. And, you know, as we read that, you can see the wickedness just come right through the pages of your Bible there. And you can imagine what is going on there. And we know that through all this, that probably Lot's wife was standing right there and seeing, knowing, and hearing all these things that were going on for herself as well. Lot then continues on to try to plead with these men. And the story goes on to say that the men pressed upon Lot and were going to even attack him and his family. And I like this part. He says, and the men who were the angel messengers there, we're going to kind of say that they were angel messengers there, that they reached out and they pulled Lot back into the house. And those angels then struck the men outside with blindness so that they could not find the door of the house there. So the angels were struck, or the angels struck the men with blindness so they could not see. And I think we could all see and we could all understand this, that yes, they were now physically blind, but before this, they were spiritually blind. And we get that way in our lives as well, don't we? That we close our eyes to spiritual things as well. And so the angels tell Lot. They tell him to gather up his family because they need to leave. And the angels tell Lot to gather his family and to leave this place. These angels who were sent, and they were sent with a twofold purpose. One, to deliver Lot and his family, and two, to be the destroyers of the city, and to cast judgment and to punish the people for their wickedness here. The angels were sent for two reasons here. And Lot again, apparently he goes back out again that night. He goes back out to find his son-in-laws. So apparently the son-in-laws weren't in the house, so that leads us to believe not these two daughters that were with him, that Lot had other daughters as well, because he had son-in-laws, and he went out to try to find them, to try to convince them, to tell them that they should leave the place. And the Bible says there, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, they thought he was crazy here, and they thought that they didn't listen to him. They mocked him. The Bible probably says that they mocked him there, you know, and I'm sure he tries to convince them. And the Bible goes on to say here, and when morning came, again, the angels tell Lot and his family there, take your wife and the two daughters that are with you here now and flee the city. So these are the instructions, flee the city. And now here verse 16 of chapter 19, look down here at verse 16 of chapter 19 of the book of Genesis. And I want to see these words here, some sad words here. And while he lingered. So many times we do a lot of lingering, don't we? We linger around places maybe we shouldn't be. We don't listen to heavenly advice that we're given from scriptures. We hang around, we mill around, we hesitate. All these things is what Lot and his family was doing. And I like this next phrase here, and I've been pondering it for a while. It says, and the men laid hold upon his hand and the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his daughters, and the Lord, being merciful unto them, brought them forth and set them outside the city. They took them by the hand. You know, I wonder so many times about this. You know, have we lingered around sin long enough that God has taken us by the hand and led us out and delivered us from something and we didn't even know it? How many times maybe where we can't explain why we were not injured, why we were not there, why we were the split second that this happened or that happened, why we were delivered from something. I think there might be times when God has taken us by the hand and literally and figuratively here led us out and delivered us from something, and we didn't even have knowledge of it there. Well, in this case, Lot would have had knowledge of it, that he would have been led out of the city there. Now, once again, when they're outside the city, it says here, they were given further instructions to flee for their life, and that's in verse down in verse 17 there. And they were following, escape for your life, don't look back. Those were the instructions given there. Escape for your life, don't look back. You know, behold, thy servant hath, you know, and he goes on to say that why this has happened. He says, behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. Thou hast showed unto me in the saving of my life. You know, I think we could say that in our lives as well. As the Lord magnified his mercy upon us, I think we would all say, yes, he has, when we think about it. That he's magnified his mercy on us and he saved us. God has magnified mercy unto us many times. So after seeing and hearing these instructions from the angels, and after seeing her husband plead with maybe even with the son-in-laws there and all the things that she had seen, it says, being taken by the hand and led out of the city, told not to look back, what does Lot's wife do? She did exactly what we do a lot of times in our life, right? We look back here, and it says that she looked back. So God did what he said he would do. He destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, it says. And in verse 26 of chapter 19 there, it says that she looked back and became a pillar of salt. You know, we said earlier that Jesus believed the Old Testament as fact. And this is one of those things where he says, remember Lot's wife. You know, and as this, you know, when we think about the New Testament writers referring to this as well. And in 2 Peter, the second chapter in verses 6 through 9, the New Testament writers, just as much as Jesus believed the Old Testament, New Testament writers would write about this very thing as well. And they said, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto us, that those should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from the day to day with the unlawful deeds. You know, the Lord knows how to, and it goes on to say there, in verse 9 there, it says, and the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Has God given us an opportunity in our life? Sure he has. And so in Jude 7, if we look at Jude 7 there, part of that verse also says that this story was set there for an example unto us. And so these Old Testament stories believed by God, and then those instances surrounding Lot's wife. You know, there are some other things I think we may want to remember about Lot's wife and the things that went on there is that evil companions can influence you. Well, and here we think about this, Lot and his family moved to Sodom after a dispute between his herdsmen and the herdsmen of Abraham. And we know over time we get attached to many things in our lives. We get attached to things, we get attached to people, we get attached to areas in which we were around, and I'm sure Lot's wife had ties with very many people in the city. They were there a while. And so Lot's wife had ties to those people, and she even may have been curious. When the fire and brimstone starts happening, she wants to see what's going on there, and she looked back. Maybe not just out of curiosity, but longing for knowing that part of her family was still there. And all that, even though, what's the old saying that when we say that no one can resist a train wreck, you know, and so this is happening, and Lot's wife looks back. You know, she was kind of like the rich young ruler in the New Testament. It says that her possessions were great, and she wanted to long for those things. So it wasn't just a glance, I'm thinking, that God knew her heart and knew the longing that she was doing. So this is the thing here. Faith is for the future here when we think about this. We can't look back on what might have been. You know, we always, and if we look back at past things, you know, we always look at it in a positive way. When we think about, you know, something that may have happened in the past, we spin it the way we think it should have came out. But we have no knowledge of that. You know, we don't know that. You know, if we'd only done this, if we'd only taken this job, if we'd only bought this or done that, and we always think about it in a positive way, that how our lives would have been much better, or whatever the case may be. Well, that's not the case. We don't have that knowledge here. And so we don't have that knowledge. We don't know what would have been, and we can only imagine. Faith is for the future. Lot's wife should have trusted the leading of the angels, and when Jesus asks us to remember Lot's wife, that very well could be something for us to remember as well. That when we could get in the wrong crowd, that crowd could influence us, that crowd could let us have feelings and longings and things that shouldn't be in our life. If we overlook, you know, there's something in this story about Lot and Abraham's separation that I think we forget. And it's found here, it's in the story here, when Abraham had given Lot the choice to choose which land, remember Lot was given first choice. Here, and Lot looked, and he saw the plains of the area there and how they were very well watered, it says, and it says that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know, I think we don't want to forget that. You know, there are times maybe in our lives that maybe we pitch our tents toward Sodom and hoping that it will come out good, right? We make a decision based upon one thing, that without God's leading, and we set ourselves on a course that we may not want to go down. We don't know how it's going to go. In Lot's case, he lost part of his family. He lost all his possessions, his wife, all because, and maybe the course of action, where it says that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know, let's remember some things. You know, sometimes we can be influenced by evil things, and just as Lot's wife was here. I think she had many things in the city that she was longing for. You know, we think, well, that's hard, and that's cruel. Why would God do that? Well, you know, there are different times in the Bible where we're told things similar to that, right? We think of the garden. What were they asked to do? Don't eat. Don't eat. She added the don't touch part in here, right? In the garden, they were told not to eat of the tree of good and evil. So what happened? They did, and they were punished. What about, we also think of Uzzah in the Old Testament. The ark was being moved in a way that it shouldn't have been moved. It was at a place it shouldn't have been, and they were instructed not to touch. Well, what happens when Uzzah touches it? He's punished and he dies. What about the New Testament then? Well, those are a couple of, well, what about words like in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 27, where it says, do not forsake. That's just as much of a command as anything else that we've seen. You know, God is his word is true, his promises are true, and those warnings that were given for a reason. And here he says, remember Lot's wife. And also, I think when we think about Lot's wife, that there was a way of escape that was given. As we already alluded to, God was merciful to Lot and his family. The Bible tells us that. Lot's wife probably should have taken advantage of that blessing, and so should we many times. We've been given blessings, and sometimes we neglect to take advantage of that. God's merciful for us today, and he's provided a way of escape for us. We think of Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 3 there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? How shall we escape? Well, we can't. There's a great salvation. We should take advantage of it. There's an opportunity for us. God sent his son to be a ransom for you and I. He provided a way of escape that through his son, Jesus, that was through his son. You know, Jesus taught that he was the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through the Son. You know, in Lot's wife's case, let's say, she took her eyes off the goal. Escape for your life. Remember, that was the instructions given. Escape for your life. The Old Testament reminds us that the children of Israel were constantly looking back. Many times they were looking back in their lives. And the disciples, in the New Testament tells that Jesus was teaching, and when his teachings got hard, it says many of his disciples followed him no more. You know, in Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, I think fit so well here as we're starting to bring this message to a close. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, not looking back, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, as we think about Lot's wife here, let's remember things like Jesus believed the Old Testament. He believed the story to be true, that we can get around things and, you know, get around people that influence the wrong way. Evil companions can influence us, but God has provided a way of escape through his son. You know, and so when we think about God's gospel plan that's been given to us, that's the escape route that we've been given, right? That's the opportunity that's been given for us. To believe in the Son of Man, to believe in the Son of God, and that belief should cause us to repent of our sins, should cause us to confess his name before the Lord, be immersed in Christian baptism, to wash away our sins, and then arise to walk in a newness of life. Not looking back. Faith is for the future. Pressing forward onto the goal of our heavenly home. That's what we're asked to do. That's when we say, when Jesus asked us to remember Lot's wife, not the looking back, but let's press on towards the goal. So let's stand as we sing today, Where He Leads.